10:50 on KTSA now. Jack here, and we're joined on the KTSA Window World Newsmaker line by former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense in the Bush 41 administration and now contributing editor at American Spectator magazine, Jed Babin. And Jed Babin, good morning to you.
Well, good morning.
We got the news a little while ago here from France that they've now identified the Christmas marketplace terrorist, and there's a national manhunt on for him. This story kind of, I think, reminds people that Islamic terrorism is still out there. When we look at all the other headlines coming out of Europe, that seems to have been demoted by other things, but it's still a real thing.
It's a very real thing, and it's most visible in France and Belgium, where they have great concentrations of Muslim immigrants. It's unfortunate that the French and the Belgians have not been able to get these people to assimilate, but I guess that's pretty much inevitable. We have, in every nation around the West, I think you see pockets of many Muslim populations that have emigrated there and just refuse to assimilate. So that's an ongoing problem, not just there, but here in Canada and everywhere else.
When we hear in a news story, they're on high alert, they're on higher alert, it sounds all very redundant. Like, how many different levels of high alert do they have? And has the horse already left the barn?
Well, and how alert can the French ever be? The horse has long ago left the barn. I guess there are levels of, different alert stages when, they go on longer work hours, put people on longer shifts. You have more intense patrolling of the streets. But, there's not a lot they can do, I think, much more than they're doing. They have to be able to gather more intelligence, and that's really what this is all about, is, the intelligence failure of being able to interdict these attacks.
It's a very familiar story in that he is said to have been on their security watch list. They have 26,000 people just in France on this security watch list. And again, more about this than we do, but when you have that many people on a watch list, what does that even really mean?
Well, it doesn't mean much. And I think you're reaching a very important point here, Jack. The fact of the matter is that when you have that many people on a watch list, how much watching can you do?
Yeah.
If you're going to have each one of them under surveillance 24/7, you're going to need about 30 different people to do that, maybe 40 for each separate person. And they're not going to spend that much money. They're not going to hire that many people. So, yeah, you can put people on a list, but, that's basically the intelligence services Christmas card list. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah. And, of course, you add this to the chaos that's already happening in France with the yellow vest protests. In the meantime, this is a big day for Theresa May, right?
Yeah, maybe the last day for Ms. May. She has made such a complete mess of the Brexit process. 2016, they had a vote. 52% of the population of the United Kingdom said we want out of the European Union. And she triggered the Brexit Article 50 process in the following March. And so they have had 2 years, which expired March 29th of next year, to actually negotiate an exit agreement. And she's made a complete mess of it. The process, the objectives of Brexit were basically to get the United Kingdom out from under the European Union's laws and regulations and various immigration controls, which they found obnoxious to their sovereignty, and that's exactly right. So what Mrs. May has done is effectively leave them in the European Union by subjecting them to the European Union's laws and courts and regulations. Without actually having to vote in the process anymore, because they're not going to be part of the European Commission. So, they're having the worst of all possible worlds through this deal, and an awful lot of British conservatives have just been fed up. And, of course, the wacky liberals over there under Jeremy Corbyn are just seeking ways to make trouble and get rid of Mrs. May in the vain hope that they'd actually elect Corbyn as prime minister, which is a truly frightening prospect.
Well, let me ask you about that, because that's sort of, she's come down to the last card in her hand, and the card she's playing now is, well, you better do what I want, and you better do things my way, or you'll get him, and we'll be in the EU forever. Is that a credible threat?
Well, not really. It could very well be that, God forbid Jeremy Corbyn would be for some time the Prime Minister of Great Britain, but the real issue here is not the choice between her deal and staying in forever. The real issue is whether they're going to come out with no deal at all. They have to be out by March 29th. There has to be some agreement unless they extend the deadline, which is also a possibility. But the fact of the matter is, under a no-deal Brexit, it would probably be better for Britain. They could more quickly negotiate trade deals, for example, with us. President Trump, I think, is sitting back and waiting, saying, hey, you know, as soon as you guys are free, we're going to be negotiating a new trade deal with you. We can't while they're part of the European Union. A lot of things are going to go very, very well for Britain, and they would free themselves of this real tyranny of the European Union, which is the most undemocratic thing outside of Russia.
All right, so I keep hearing people say what you just said as if it's very obvious that, this would be better for them. What is what's holding her up?
Well, there's a lot of fear. I mean, number one, Mrs. May did not want to leave the European Union. She voted against the Brexit referendum herself, and she's kind of fiddled and diddled since then. I mean, the real question is how much better could she have done in a deal? And obviously, they could have demanded a whole lot more and stuck to their guns. She's giving roughly $50 billion as kind of a one-time alimony payment to the EU, and she's getting pretty much nothing in return. So there are a lot of different choices that could be made, and, you know, quite frankly, she's just not been a strong leader. So the conservatives there, I think, are wise in trying to throw her out today, and they may succeed.
And how does that work if she loses a vote of no confidence? Obviously, in their system, unlike ours, there's not a fixed term, so it's a parliamentary process. What happens next if she loses the no confidence vote?
If she loses the no confidence vote, then the conservatives would have to choose her successor as party leader, and they could probably do that within, who knows, a month or so. But that's going to further delay any Brexit talks. And, you know, if she loses that, she will have automatically, well, not automatically because it would not have come up, but she would have implicitly had lost the vote in favor of her Brexit deal. So Brexit will be up in the air. It makes it very unlikely that they'd have a deal before March 29th, which is the deadline. So I think they're going to end up extending the deadline by 6 months or a year. They're going to end up coming up to the same things with the same problems because the EU is not going to bend. And they're not going to compromise. So it will simply kick the can down the road, although you'll have somebody stronger than Theresa May there as trying to negotiate the deal.
Does the EU survive the UK leaving it?
I think it does. I think it does not indefinitely. You know, you've got the socialists, not communists, but really the social welfare states of Europe are the leaders of the EU. I mean, you've got France and Germany and Italy and Spain and Greece and so forth. And, you know, except for Germany, none of them are strong economies. The Italians are pretty much going broke right as we speak. The Greeks are, you know, recovering from the last bailout and getting ready for the next one. So it's not going to go on forever. You know, eventually, like Margaret Thatcher said, you run out of other people's money to spend. So they're going to run out of that fairly soon. But they will totter along, probably for another 5, 6, maybe even 10 years.
Jed Babin, read him in the American Spectator, and always appreciate the time. Thanks for making some for us here on KTSA.
Hey, thanks very much.
We'll talk to you soon.